Yeah. It's that money, boy. Hey.
What is up, everybody? My name is Brandon First, aka First Report, representing the ESBC Gambling Podcast Network. It is Monday, March 30th, 2020, and as we not so patiently await opening day, I will continue to break down every team every day, so we will be ready when that glorious day does finally arrive. Today, we will begin to dive into the AL Central, beginning with the Chicago White Sox. At first glance, just looking at this team before I did any research, just looking at the roster, White Sox have a nice, healthy mix of young talent and veteran presence. It's either a former top prospect that's just beginning or a veteran who's maybe not in his prime, but can still produce very well. They do have the luxury of playing in a relatively weak division when you have the Detroit Tigers and the Kansas City Royals in your division. That's plenty of free wins right there. Not too many divisions have two really bad teams, and the AL Central does. We'll get to those two teams a little later on in the week. They do have, like I said, even though this division maybe has some bad teams at the bottom, there's some good teams at the top, and the White Sox are definitely one of them. They're going to have to compete with the Indians and the Twins to win this division, but I think they are fully prepared to do that in terms of the talent. The notable acquisitions or additions, if you will, were obviously left-handed pitcher Dallas Keuchel comes from the Atlanta Braves. Yasmani Grandal gets paid and heads to Chicago after his 1 year in Milwaukee. And designated hitter Edwin Encarnacion had his fun in with the Yankees. This is a kind of a all or nothing type hitter, but he's a good DH. He's somebody that you know what you're getting out of him. He's not going to hit 300. He's going to hit 35 to 40 home runs, get on base maybe 30% of the time if you're lucky, but probably not even that. And their final big acquisition was Nomar Mazara, who helped stabilize the outfield. All of those guys are obviously expected to produce immediately, but let's dive a little deeper. Then we'll start with the starting pitching staff. I obviously already brought up Dallas Keuchel. Overall, the starting staff is the weak point for this ball club. There's no doubt about it. At the top are obviously Dallas Keuchel and Lucas Giolito, who's a very good pitcher. But as it stands right now, he's kind of expected to be the ace of this team. I don't think he's ready to step into that into those shoes. Remember, an ace is somebody that you're on a 3 or 4 game losing streak. You have to have full confidence that you're going to give the ball to this guy. And no matter what, he's going to get you a W. He's going to stop the losing streak. That, in my mind, is what a true ace is. I don't think Lucas Giolito's there. I think he's he could be there. I think he has the potential to be there. But I don't think he's there yet. Maybe Dallas Keuchel can be that guy, but I don't think he's ever, I mean, he's been that guy on teams, but he's never been that guy on good teams. He's always, at best, he's been the number two or number three. Not saying he can't do it, but I would probably lean towards Lucas Giolito being that guy, if anyone is. The one thing I will say about Lucas Giolito is he throws strikes. He had the league high 47% of his pitches thrown were strikes. That was obviously the highest in the major leagues. So he's gonna make people swing the bat. He's not gonna walk guys. He's gonna kind of be that guy. I like they call him action pitchers. He's gonna make you put the ball in play. He's not an overpowering guy by today's standards. I mean, he gets it up in the 90s, but I feel like everybody does these days. Nothing incredible in terms of the velocity, but he's got some really outstanding stuff that can go along with pinpoint control. That's really, really good. They also brought in Gio Gonzalez, who probably isn't, you know, obviously he's past his prime, but he's another guy who can really add some veteran leadership to this pitching staff. This is a farm system that has been highly regarded for a couple years, and we're starting to see the fruits of that labor, if you will. A guy that was 2 years ago looked like was going to be an absolute stud was Reynaldo Lopez. He struggled last year, bit of a sophomore slump, if you will. I mean, it's to be expected. Not everybody's going to go out there and do what, Max Scherzer can do and be an incredibly reliable pitcher every year, and obviously early on in his career. But the one concerning stat I did see, he allowed 35 home runs in 33 starts. That is way too many home runs. I know you play in the American League. I know it's a DH league. Obviously, the AL Central is a very home run centric division. I'll get to that a little later. But that is still unacceptable in my mind, and I'm sure in the eyes of the general managers. But he's young enough to probably get that down. He's young enough and has a body of work that he can point to that has shown that he can be a good pitcher at this level, if not an elite pitcher. So we'll see. That will be one thing that I'll definitely keep an eye on. If Reynaldo Lopez can return to his 2018 form, the White Sox are in really, really good shape. We move on to the bullpen. It's a solid unit, I feel like lately, especially when I talked about the National League East teams, talked a lot about inexperienced or underwhelming bullpens. That was kind of the theme that by Friday I had figured out. Okay, that's another bullpen that I don't think is very good. I think this is actually the strong point of the pitching staff is the bullpen. Closer Alex Colomé is a bit of an enigma in terms when it comes to a closer. He was 30 out of 33 in save opportunities, which is good. But these days, your closers, you see the Aroldis Chapmans, the Josh Haders, the Andrew Millers, the guys throwing 98, 99, striking out two guys, having a K to nine ratio of 15, like you saw Kirby Yates last year, who just pretty much had double the strikeouts per innings pitched. This guy, only 55 strikeouts and 61 innings pitched. Look, however you got to get it done, obviously I can't sit here and tell you that's not the right way to do it. It's just one of those stats that I saw and it caught my eye because of the way bullpens are kind of being put together. You almost have your most reliable, but also your strongest or hardest throwing arm in the bullpen. And Colomé obviously throws hard. He just doesn't have that strikeout, wipeout number one, that pitch that he can go to every single batter. Also in the bullpen is Kelvin Herrera. This was a kid I remember a couple years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago when the Royals were a big force. He was coming up with them and looked like he was going to be a closer of the future. Injuries have set him back. He is returning from, yes, another injury. Had foot surgery last year. They hope he could be a good middle reliever. And I'll tell you this right now, if you can get him to at least be even to 80% to 75% of what we expected him to be, that's a great option to have in that bullpen, especially considering left-hander Aaron Boomer or Bummer, I should say. He's going to look to build on a year last year where he was really good, had a 2.13 ERA, and somebody. Obviously, when you're a lefty coming out of the bullpen, that's just an instant premium. But as we saw with Reynaldo Lopez, what's going to happen year two? That's the question. So big question mark for Aaron Boomer. But if similarly, if Reynaldo Lopez has a great season, the White Sox are going to be good. Same thing with Aaron Boomer. If he can go out and keep doing what he did last year, combined with what Colomé and hopefully what Kelvin Herrera can bring to the table, I think this team is in very good shape, and could probably be a dark horse to win this division. I don't even know if they're considered a dark horse, but they're definitely somebody that could win this division. I'll get to that a little later when I talk about the betting perspectives. But we'll move on to the lineup. And look, when researching the Sox lineup, I was surprised to see that last year they had five players hit 18 or more home runs. All right, that's impressive. And then I realized they added three more players that all fit that bill in Nomar Mazzaro, Edwin Encarnacion, and Yasmani Grandal. Obviously, the last two are both rather elite home run hitters at their position. Nomar Mazzaro had 18 home runs, nothing to scoff at himself. But this is a team that is going to hit a lot of home runs. Obviously, in this division, when you talk about power, the Twins are the standard. They set a major league record for home runs last year. I do think a lot of that was the home run ball. Or, I'm sorry, was the makeup of the ball. I think the ball was juiced. But at the same time, that was obviously still a very powerful lineup that didn't lose anybody. If anything, the Twins brought in Josh Donaldson, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll deal with that later on in the week. Back to the White Sox. They, like I said, they can hold a candle to the Twins in terms of their lineup. And outside of the three guys, the three new guys I already mentioned, the Sox feature the defending AL batting champ and Tim Anderson, two of the game's brightest young stars in Johan Moncada and Eloy Jimenez, and a consistent run producer in Jose Abreu, who, unfortunately for him, you know, when I first started to do research, I wanted to talk about how, you know, Jose Abreu has kind of underperformed and all that stuff. And then I looked at his stats, and he hasn't underperformed. He just started his rookie year. He did things that he was never, ever going to do. He hit over 300 and still had the same power that he has currently. But he's hitting around 260, 270, which is still great. You still have an OPS of over 800 or 750. That's great. And that's more his style. So I think it was maybe a bit of a negative for him to start as well as he did. I mean, his career year might be his rookie year. You don't see that too often. So that negative connotation might also be in your head. I'm telling you right now, that's not true. He's a consistent run producer. And he's also now a veteran on this team that really adds stability to this lineup. And then also you throw in the top prospect. He was a top 10 prospect in all of baseball. He's been the top prospect in the White Sox organization. Luis Robert, it might be Robert, I'm not sure. But Luis Robert, center field is pretty much his when we get ready to play baseball, everything I've been hearing. So that'll be something. If he can also produce, I mean, the sky is the limit for this offense. I do look at the starting staff, notably the starting staff in terms of 3, 4, and 5. Those are big question marks. And then with Giolito and Keuchel being your top two guys, that's all well and good, but eventually in the playoffs, that is going to catch up to him. But if we do play a shortened season, it might work into their favor where they can just mash, for 3 months straight and, win, you know, 60% of their games and win the division. Who knows? Moving on to the betting perspective for this team. Obviously, look, I've prefaced every time I've talked about the betting perspective. It's really hard for me to give you any betting perspective. A, without even know if we're having a season. B, without any lines. And C, not even knowing if we're going to have 162 games. Or we're definitely not having 162 games. But how many games we're going to have. So much uncertainty out there. But even before all this started, the White Sox were the team that I expected to be betting on a lot this season. From the onset, look, they had an over-under number for wins of 84.5. I've been doing the 100-game scenario in all these podcasts. That would pretty much be 52 wins on that scenario. Pound the over, guys. I think this is a team that could win 58 to 60% of their games. So if it's a 100-game season, they're up in the 58, 60, 62 range. I think at the ceiling, they could win 65 because this division is so bad. And if the Indians maybe, I don't know, trade Lindor, or if the Twins fall off the rails, you know, you look at how bad the Royals are and how bad the Tigers are, and I'll get to them later. I really don't want to that later this week. I was looking over the AL Central and those two teams, it's going to be difficult doing those two, but this is feast for the better teams, and the White Sox, that will be a big barometer. If the White Sox can win 70% of their games against the Tigers and Royals, watch out. That's when we hit the over. And then in terms of the game, when the lines start, I think this is a powerful lineup. I don't think it's going to be the lines are going to be inflated, mainly because I look at the over-under line. If you value the White Sox to be a contender, you would expect them to be in the 88 to 92 range in terms of the wins and losses. So they're at 84 and a half, so that obviously thinks they're maybe just a level low. So they don't think that their lineup is obviously elite or top level like I do. Well, probably going to translate early on in the season. That's when we get them. We get them with the over under. I like the overs in that game, if only because late when you bet this team the over under, bet them when their number five starter is going, like a Carlos Rendon or somebody like that, a minor leaguer that I haven't even unsurfaced yet, something like that, where you can cover yourself with the other team as well. Pitching is a liability for the White Sox, and what we talk about in betting and on this podcast is it doesn't matter how you get that money, all right? The money is green no matter what. It doesn't matter how, whether it's Washington State in college basketball January 31st in a game that 17 people were at, or when we hit the over-under in the Super Bowl when every person in the world was watching, okay? It doesn't matter. The money is still green. It's the same thing. I think early on in the season, I think Vegas is going to highly undervalue this team. And if they can get off to a quick start, let's make that money. Look, we're heading towards a recession. We know that. This is recession proof. Whenever we start getting ready to go get in baseball, the algorithms are still there. We know bad teams are going to be bad. Good teams are going to be good. All right, that's recession proof. Let's get ready to make money as soon as that gun goes off for the season. All right. So overall, like I said, pound the over in terms of the wins and losses. Get ready to pound the over on the games during the regular season, and early on in the season, they might get some interesting lines. Maybe when they play the Yankees, they are given 2.5 runs. This team's good enough to probably stick around with most teams in terms of that lineup. It's a pretty safe bet that anytime they get two or more runs, they're going to cover. Not going to happen often, but they're probably going to cover when it does because something happened that people are down on them and they're going to fight back. Overall, the way this division shakes out, I think the Twins are right there with the, I'm sorry, the White Sox are right there with the Twins. I think it's going to be those two guys fighting it out. I think both of those teams are superior to the Indians. So hopefully the White Sox can at least finish in second place. Anything lower than third place would be cataclysmic. Anything really lower than second place, this team has high expectations, and they went out and spent a lot of money this offseason and really don't have any other options other than the players you see right now on the field. So it has to kind of work for them, or else they're in a lot of trouble. That is all I have for you today. Sorry about that. But I truly hope you enjoyed today's preview. Don't forget to head to ecosystemsbusinessconcierge.com to check out, obviously, not only this podcast, but every podcast we've done in terms of baseball, and every podcast we've ever done. All right. Going back to week one when it was just four strangers pretty much talking over Zoom meetings about football and how far we've come. It's really cool. If you need a distraction, it's a great place to go. There is so much content there. It's incredible. It makes Disney Plus look like a Toys R Us catalog. All right. So, with that being said, I will be back with you tomorrow to continue our AL Central talk and continue our team previews with the Cleveland Indians. Once again, my name is Brandon First, aka First Report, representing the ESBC Gambling Podcast Network. Stay safe, everybody. I will talk to you tomorrow, and you can bet on that.
If you haven't heard of Anchor, it is free. It's a podcast that I use, and they really do a good job for us here at the GFSN Betting and Team Report podcast. It helps us make 70 to 80% of your bets. Now, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started, my brothers.
I'm the best there is.